Meeting of the Security Committee to order on September 2nd at 8:30 in the morning. Any public comments as we have people sitting over there? Okay, not hearing none. We will go to item number 3, monthly updates. And you're on. Good morning again.
Good morning. Okay. So, a few things to go over. Hired a new gate officer last month, started on the 20th. Her name is Julie. She's doing a great job. She's excellent, picking it up very quickly, getting done with her training earlier than normal.
She's a tiny little sprite kind of
person. Yeah, she's a little, fine, but she's really, really good. Very friendly, gets the computer system quickly. She seems seasoned, only been here a couple weeks, so she's really good, really friendly. I think she'll work out fantastically. I'm very excited about that.
She's very short. I like
she
her.
Is.
Yes, she's yes.
Hey,
she's very.
She's vertically challenged and an Oompa Loompa. So back off.
All right. I think I understand that one.
She's awesome. Everyone will like her. I'm really happy about the choice. We hired a new patrol officer named Steve Edersdahl. Edersdahl. His last name's different. He will be starting on the 17th of this month. He has a lot of law enforcement experience from the Central Valley. About the same amount of time I did, maybe 8 to 10 years. Worked private security for a while as a security supervisor, so he gets the security side, law enforcement. Really good head and shoulders, very friendly. I think he's going to be outstanding, too. Really gets it, and I'm looking forward to working here, so
okay.
I'm happy with the choice. I guarantee you everyone will like him. So I was looking into, because I noticed when I came here we didn't have light bars on top of the cars, and there was a thing went way back to 08, but coming
they got
new.
They got taken away.
Coming in new.
Got them on and then they disappeared.
I did some research into looking into hopefully finding a section if we could get just the yellow lights, because a garbage truck can drive in here and have yellow lights, but we can't. As of this, you know, prior to having it, you can be a dump truck, a garbage truck. You could everything else can come and have yellow lights. We just need them for safety for us and for the citizens. So I looked into it, and there's a vehicle code section 25277. It states basically, I'm summarizing, if you're a government agency and issue citations, government citations, you can't have a light bar in your car. Like for amber lights to let people know that you're writing citations and doing things like that and to have them. I sent this off to the district council, Richard, and he looked into it and agreed that it is an applicable section and it applies to us and that we're authorized to have just the yellow, basic, standard light bar on the car. My thinking and reasoning is this is, sadly enough, everybody else has them, private security has them, and the need for them, in my opinion, is safety and security for the officers and for the public. If we're helping the CHP or something happens on 16 in the middle of the night, it's nice to have them when it's dark and rainy and cold and we're wearing these, and even though you have your yellow on, it's nice to have if a power line goes down to alert. If we're looking for a dog and it's running in the streets, to turn them on. If we're in the backcountry, have them on so people know we're there. If somebody's injured, we can alert fire, can say, oh, there's the lights. There's a million reasons why I can articulate why we should have them for safety for everybody. And there's no requirement for citizens to take any action authoritatively for a yellow light. It's just a caution. So unless you see a red light, you have to pull over. Yellow lights mean nothing. Everybody has them. Caltrans has them. Surveyors have them. The water trucks can have them. So it's just something that I think that the district should have for safety for everybody. And I think they'll be a great asset. And you know, if there's a tree down, there's a million things I can think of why we should have them. They won't be used in any fashion for any enforcement or authority or reason to stop somebody or detain or do anything with them. They're just purely used to alert the public that we're engaging in business, or here we are, or this is a good place to see us, or cautionary, don't come over here, there's something bad, or just as an alert like they use for every other car vehicle that has the yellow amber light bars.
And I want to thank you for this, because years ago, and I don't remember what year it was, I insisted that we look into the light bars, and they were placed on the vehicles, and when we traded vehicles, the light bars were taken off and never put back on. And that caused me to be more aware of security for the people in the neighborhood and that. So I'm glad to see that you pursued this and that we were right the first time around, and I do not understand why we lost them the first time around.
Well, when the...
other than maybe our...
Back when the security whole study was done by Steve Rudolph, legal counsel at the time, back in 2008.
I know.
His opinion was that there was no authorization in code that would allow us as public agency security to be able to display the amber bars. So his opinion was a little different, and I don't know what his perspective was, if he didn't find this particular section of code or if it was just the environment at the time that led to that opinion. So you've got his opinion from 2008 that says that we don't really have the authorization by code. And then Paul found this 25277, felt that it applied to us, checked with our current legal counsel, and Dick concurs that that section of code would authorize us to have the amber lights.
Okay, and I talked to Rudolph at the time because I was just coming on the board, and this was after 2008 that the amber bars actually did go on the vehicles.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And the vehicles then, when we traded vehicles, it disappeared. So I don't know the reasoning why. Mm-hmm. Rudolph was just giving an opinion of what he mm-hmm. had time to see. I don't know if it was the lawyer that we had for the district after that looked into it.
I haven't seen anything that came after the...
So I don't know why, and and after almost being hit by one of our vehicles in an emergency, I see why it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember the intent was to pull people over and stop them.
No, that wasn't the intent when we put it on.
If you remember the arguments, and the conversation that went on in the community, the security was trying to get peace officer powers, and they wanted the ability to flag them over and to detain them, and that was a different argument than what he's doing. What he's doing is from the safety code.
Right. Completely.
So his knowledge and being on the police, there's a variety of different government codes.
Oh, yeah,
so he did his work, and he explained it perfectly to what the code allows you and doesn't allow you to do.
Okay.
So if you remember back in those days, security chased two people into on their own property, I think broke
with lights on,
broke the wrist of the one resident, slapping the cuffs on them, and all the, and the other stuff started, you know. I wasn't on the board at the time, but all the community was discussing litigation and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So maybe your conversation on the board was applied one way, but everybody was taking it as another
problem. Okay, this would have been in 2010 or 11, and that was before, because we had already done the survey that I was a part of, and there was no indication at that survey that they did not want the bars, and we had said it was security warning only, yellow means warning only, and it went through. And then all of a sudden it disappeared. So it wasn't the community, because I have the surveys to prove it.
Well,
I disagree with you totally.
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying.
And I would tell you that the issues that popped up, I wasn't on the board, but I think there's litigation being threatened on a couple employees and how they got detained.
And so Paul and I have had a conversation about, because I wasn't here, came just after that was all completed back in 2008. But Paul and I have had a discussion saying, you know, I have full confidence in him that if for some reason one of the patrol officers decides that they're trying to get somebody's attention and they can't get it and they flip the light on to say, hey, that'll get their attention, that he will handle it as a personnel matter.
And he is saying, I can tell you, for the short time I've known you, everything you've said is textbook response to policies and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me you're trained, and really no disrespect from Greg, but when you have authority, when you're an 832, that kind of stuff, you cannot violate penal code or that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the conversation, everybody can do anything to protect their own lives,
mm-hmm.
and save lives, that kind of stuff. When you start doing things as routine, the district is opening up to a different interpretation.
A huge, just liability. It's purely for safety and security cautionary.
Absolutely.
There's no way to enforce it. If I find one of my guys doing it, I will dress it as such.
You've really made me comfortable in the very few conversations that I've had with you about how you look at things. And we're going to get the bad. People are doing bad things. You got to get them out. Then in another conversation, you know, Jim Barnes has also been talking to me about the sheriff's department being involved. He did that little presentation. He explained to me a little bit more, and I think he's reached out to you or going to reach out to you about some stuff. It makes pure sense to me how they're communicating. You know, they're getting in much more detail, much more by the process, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. That's it.
No, all I was saying was thank you.
So,
oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of
lost in the middle.
I think they're good to have. I just, I don't have a strong feeling that it has to go to the board for approval, because I don't know that it's ever been adopted anywhere that says
no.
By policy, this is how it's been outfitted. So I'm comfortable that if the security committee is okay allowing him to go forward and outfitting the vehicles that way, that he proceeds.
I don't see, me personally, I don't see anything. Everything you said makes perfect sense to me. Okay. For security purposes, it's absolutely accurate.
Excellent,
okay.
Thank you.
And then, so, well, of course, this will be part of the board packet too, but we'll just make sure that maybe when you do comments or something at the board, you can just kind of address it.
Discuss it.
Public meeting there, that's what you're, you know, you've changed that and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be a huge, if someone sees yellow, they go, well, they had them all the time, or they're the new cars, because they're going on the new vehicles, so maybe they'll, it's part of the package. And I got a quote from people in Elk Grove called Emergency Vehicle Outfitters. They do all the Elk Grove cars and some sheriff's vehicles, so. A good deal. I think the light bars will last at least 10 years, and we can change them out with multiple cars. It's very easy. It's a very good investment.
Yes.
So they'll outlast many of these vehicles we use. Okay, I'm glad we resolved that. Incidents of notes from August. Well, there was an assist with the CHP for a stolen vehicle that was pulled over by the Highway Patrol. They just ran a plate, came back stolen. We were there, kind of hung out to make sure everything worked out okay, and everything did. And on the 12th, actually, I was working that night with Sergeant Scorzella. There was a little domestic argument in the parking lot of the country store. It started down the road and ended up here. It was an interesting call, but it got resolved. The two parties got picked up by their friends and relatives and went back to Jackson. So it was just, other than a little comedy in the parking lot, there was no injury or anything that needed to warrant calling the sheriffs. There's a gentleman lives in the Marietta Village who has his common area restrictions revoked for the pool in the common area, and then he was seen in the pool by a resident, and so we came and Mike talked to the gentleman. Of course, he said, I didn't know, even though he turned his key in, but as all people are doing bad things say, what? I didn't know, I'm not supposed to do that, shockingly. So he's been formally advised multiple times and in writing, so he knows he's not supposed to come back. So I'm sure at some point we'll deal with him again, and we'll work it up the chain and issue him a notice of trespass and do what we need to do. But he was perfectly fine with Mike and respectful. I saw it on the embody camera. I watched the whole incident, so it went out very well. Then we had an incident beginning of last week where a very intoxicated resident, Betty,
I have to stop that.
Okay, I'm just one on the meeting. She thought the house she was entering was hers, which it was not, and an argument ensued with the owner, shockingly. She came back out. My officers came by and started talking to her. She was very, very intoxicated. My guess is there also was something else on board, maybe antidepressants when they kind of have different personalities. And we had to call the sheriffs, and the sheriff came and detained her and arrested her for the intoxication in public code, 647F, and took her downtown.
She had never been on the public.
You have to be right. That's the old cop trick. Hey, come here, I need to talk to you off the porch. You're drunk in public. Like, she was in the street when she was having a bad day, so the deputy took her downtown to detox. And
did you have a nice vacation downtown?
He's sober, you up. It was nice. The association meeting is happening on the 12th because of the holiday next week. I unfortunately will be on vacation that week. Mike will be there in my place. I'll be there in spirit, sort of, on a beach having a drink. And all the security updates for the resident information, we've got, I want to say, almost all of them back. I get some trickling in here and there. People turn them at the gate. They're entering in the system. We're pretty much done. There's a few that I have to work a couple kinks out where they maybe went to the wrong address of the owner or the renter, but we're almost fully complete with that project.
To this point, though, I don't know. So part of the process was that if forms didn't come back, that those particular barcodes would be deactivated. And I know we were giving some time. We haven't really started that part of the process yet. So it might be time to start looking at now and saying which ones you don't have back, and it's time to start turning
off. Yeah, the ones that we don't have back, I want to reach out first and just see, because it might be confusion with resident tenant. I want to shut off somebody's barcode if it's just a confusion.
Yeah.
I'm going to start reaching out, and then those I can't get any kind of resolution with, then we'll begin the process. We have to at least stop them at the gate. Mm-hmm. But most of them we've got back, and some are trickling in, and we had a little printing issue with the particular street, so I've been reprinting them and giving them directly to the residents via email or whatever. So it's for the most part we're getting there.
Okay, good. Okay.
I think there'll always be some problem children that don't turn them in, and we'll just we'll have to stop at the gate and turn in their info.
Because part of the process was cleaning up the database and saying there's old barcodes out there that shouldn't be active but still
and
are.
Non-property owners except runners.
Right.
Might have barcodes.
Right.
And then on that area, I have a question that maybe we need to reach out. I'm aware of it because this is what's happening to me, is the fact that I'm going on vacation, but my husband's not ambulatory, and I'm leaving at home with a caregiver. And I will have all the emergency, everything, but the gate needs to know, you know, who's going to be in the house with him, who to contact in case of an emergency, and so on. I've got it all lined up for myself, but I'm thinking of other residents that may be going on vacation, and they want to make sure that the house is watched more.
Right.
I know I was with Scarnella one day, and a resident came up and said, I will be leaving, and my house will be vacant for over a month. Mm-hmm. A lot of them go south in the wintertime. And so he said yes, he took down the information so that the resident felt comfortable.
I believe there's a form.
We do. We have a vacation.
And it's on the website.
Right. Okay. But I'm saying that maybe on the next pipeline, maybe we should remind again. Hopefully they read the pipeline. Just as a reminder that you do have this option if you are going to be leaving your home for any reason, for any length of time. And please go to the website and do the data that's necessary to help you.
One of the things that we discussed when we changed over the barcode system and the camera stuff was assistant RMA and some other stuff of what's going on. Like all the contractors coming in, giving the RMA a list so they can match it with their architecture review to see whose property is being worked on, that kind of stuff there. And I haven't heard that we have done that yet, but there was some program stuff or information that we were, like the country club, when there's a tournament, they used to give a list of
prospectors coming up in a week and a half.
Different events that were going on. And then I think every once in a while, if my memory serves me, like how many people are coming on every single day. You know, I think there's supposed to be some analysis and that kind of stuff.
I am sure with the system we can find out.
Okay.
I'm sure there's some sort of audit system we can do. I know just from being in the gates a little bit that I have myself, it's during the week, there's a considerable amount of contractors and people and gardeners and just a lot of deliveries. It's just there's a lot, and they get written down, and they get documented, and their plate and everything, and then they're given the day pass. So I know it's documented. I think it's just extracting that info and finding it.
And the example was with Paul Water Guy, when they changed laws and chemicals you're allowed to use on the grass and that kind of stuff, making sure we give a notice to all the contractors that these chemicals are prohibited and that, you know. So it was
Bringing something in that they're either not supposed to have, or they have to let us know that they're bringing it in.
Absolutely. So it was really just sharing information with everybody, make sure we're on the same page, utilizing that tool the best we can.
That makes complete sense. Yeah, I'll look into that. I'm sure there's something that we can do.
Yeah, because I was notified about a contractor that came in early, went fishing, came to do their work that they did at the resident, and was late, so the resident caught them and called me and said, you know,
he just clocked out on his lunch and fished.
Sorry about that.
That's
but yes. I understand what Mike is saying.
Shockingly, contractors, I will look into that. I'm sure there's something we can do. They do have to notify us, and my guess is, you know, even a UPS truck, they transport hazardous materials, so I'm sure there's some rule that says they have to notify.
Well, it's RMA's rule. It's RMA rules. And so the theory behind it was that if there's a way, if all of a sudden they look at these 20 contractors are coming in on a regular basis, it's not like, you know, Roto-Rooter or that kind of stuff there. Well, where's this contract going? You know, where's this contract working? They go match their architectural process and say, well, this person never applied for a permit or the permission. Right. And that was the conversation that went 2 years ago when we formed the thing about the gates and, you know, that kind of stuff. And when we went to Vegas to look at all those camera systems, what the conversation was, this is all the things that you could do with these systems.
Right.
You know?
I'm sure there's, it's an audit program in there. Yeah. There's always something. I'm sure I can right click on something. I'm still in the process of working on the emergency map and the incident map for the district. It should be done as soon as I can have a free moment and get something done. But I'm working on, I'm going to maybe do some delegation and assistance with the emergency exit map.
The county environmental office has an emergency map on the wall. So they have the big emergency map for the county. And then I think they have a very good example.
Maybe I can not reinvent the wheel.
They may be able to just cut and paste different areas. You know, they may be able to Google in on your area and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think I will.
It's actually right in the lobby of the environmental office in Mather. Right
there. Exactly the building you're talking about. Huh? Take my camera, take pictures. Look over there, collect. Download, print. We'll go quickly through the violations and citations. Citations last month, we had 7 stop signs, 3 parking, overnight street, 17, 5 speeders, and 7 unauthorized vehicles. And admonishments are listed. I don't need to read them for you. I would say, in looking at the previous months and creating this myself, it's right where they were for the previous months. A few things have increased with the, like, the stop signs and the park hour. Admonishments have increased.
What are you giving to the dogs? Or stop barking compared to months
before? We advise the dog.
Yeah, okay.
Stop barking.
And there was just a thing on news or MSN, something that your dogs understand.
Yes, I
They
I
understand
know.
Your words more than you think they do. So you could advise them and they probably wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah. I get bark. Near dog food and it just knows. Can't see or hear me, but it knows when I open a can of dog food. Uh-huh. So they're all basically in line with the last few months, except for a few more stop sign admonishments this month for August. And that's it for me. If anybody has any questions, concerns, comments?
Job well done.
Thank you.
Okay, looks like you're next on the agenda.
Yeah. So this is the first initial draft of our security impact fee policy. Primary purpose, of course, is to define and outline how those impact fees are to be spent. The policy, right now, the properties that are subject to paying those fees are the properties that are under the 670 FSA and also the Rancho North FSA. The only parcel that we have out there that doesn't have any FSA with it at all and isn't addressed by this would be the apartment complex. But the intent would be that when that happens to come down the pike to develop, they would also be subject to a security impact fee. It would be included to them as well. The 670 FSA is the only one that has property outside the gates, behind the gates and outside the gates. So the property outside the gates was agreed to a 750 per lot or 750 per commercial or retail EDU impact fee. And then property behind the gates, either on the north or the south, are subject to a $1,200 per lot fee. The process would be that as projects come up that staff would recommend be used, or impact fees be used to pay for the project, they'll come to the board just like reserves do, regardless of the dollar amount, would come to the board for authorization and approval of expenditure of that impact fee fund. The FSAs do have language in there that says that with CSD board approval, a developer could purchase and implement a security technology of a public nature that the board would approve and say, okay, you pay for it, you don't owe us fees, okay? But again, that has to be done by board approval, and the developer would be required to ask for that approval of in lieu rather than paying fees prior to doing the work.
So if I could add my 2 cents to that. So the theory was that the reason on the incident maps and the data that you would see the area that have the most incidents
right.
occurring.
Right.
And the chief would control the suggestions of where the cameras installed and, you know,
right.
to reduce the vandalism and that kind of stuff there. Yeah. So the argument or the difference of opinion with the developer is they want to enhance their property in lieu of doing what's best for the whole district. And that's probably mm-hmm. where the, if I say that accurately. Mm-hmm. So, I've had a difference of opinion with John on that, you know, because it's gonna, and you know how this works.
Yeah.
You know, the kids are the issue right now. There's a better chance that the hotel and the commercial property is going to focus.
Or the same kids go over there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's going to focus one more attention. So the chief, based on data,
correct,
and their knowledge, should really recommend projects that are going to reduce or allow them to take patrol and maneuver their patrol.
And I think,
and you get it.
Once we get the camera strategy and where we need them, for projects that haven't come up yet or going to start, like the stores and things, if they have outside cameras or if they're running, if there's something that's a range where we can just view them, have no administrator rights, not be able to do anything, but just see them, and then that way we can work together.
Into the system.
Right, if I can, because you just go to like an IP address and you log on an IP address and I can just see, okay, because if something happens, I'd like to know if the hotel has a parking lot camera. It'd be nice for us to be able to see the camera before we go over there, then that way we can either share costs or come to an agreement rather than me telling you need all these things and it's hard to validate them when they haven't, nothing's happened there yet.
And I think they would listen, but and then the other argument is they wanted a button where they called you and you ignored everything else and you responded to there. We went through all those different sub agreements and you're going to act, and I'm very confident you're going to act as this,
yes.
If the boiling water is getting run and the run over, you got to go turn off.
We're going to go, right, regardless of where.
We also discussed with the plaza. The manager of the plaza was putting in their cameras. At the time, we were talking about cameras mm-hmm. years ago. And they were going to put in a system that we could then interject, like you're saying, into what was happening so that you could view it. So they're on board with this already. I don't know what they have now because of all that's happening over at the plaza. So that might be a way of touching base with them when we get to that point.
Good point, right.
Because, and I know that the village is very concerned with all the development over there and how that's going to impact them. So I'm just saying that some of this has been discussed already, and these are some of the people that are
To clarify this a little bit. Is if they're on their own separate system, the key was is hooking up to the system that he has the ability to rotate through. So if the plaza has their own system and they want us to go to their own separate IP, their own network stuff, that's different than what the security system is, because it won't record. We won't be recording anything for they're going to have to do all the legwork and that kind of
stuff. It's like of the modern systems, it's an app on your phone that you can delete to. I can go look at a beach in Hawaii now's camera on the Hilton.
As long as they open it up to you.
You open it up. So it's simple IP, you had no admin rights. It's just a viewing thing so we can say, we're seeing it, we can share it, because it works for them too. If it's 2 a.m. and someone's sitting at the gate and they look and they see somebody looks like they're breaking into a car.
Absolutely.
The person at the front desk may not see that, or they may be busy doing something else. So it kind of helps everybody. It's an easy sell with the technology and the networking now.
We have 800 cameras on that.
Yeah, so it's...
We got
so as you get into that.
Can I make a comment? Because this is a development impact fee, you should have council review its compliance with Section 66,000 of the government code, which is development fee, because development fees are supposed to be spent for the development.
This is a separate negotiation.
And this isn't a development fee, this is a negotiated contract fee.
Okay, so it's a separate agreement. So it's not.
Yeah, it's an FSA.
It's not 66,000, right?
Good.
So the use of the security impact fee language in the Rancho North FSA, there's a sample policy that's back there. And so some of the language that's in here is taken from that sample policy. The additional language that I've put in here, though, is it makes sense that the district is going to work closely with HOAs, commercial owners associations, developers to put together a technology that's beneficial and does the adequate job for their needs and our needs altogether. But I wanted the policy to be clear that whatever the final decision is up to our board, and it doesn't have to be a consensus or an agreed to solution. If, you know, if we can't reach consensus of what needs to be done, but the board thinks what you're putting forward is best for the district, it is up to our board's final discretion as to how that money is to be spent.
And that was the hard part that developers were having trouble with.
Right. And John and Greg and I met probably back in April, I think, to kind of talk about. And he hasn't, if he hasn't seen this board or the committee packet, he hasn't seen this policy yet. So he may still come and have issues with the language that I've put in here. I just want to let you know that's my language, and I think that's how it needs to be done. We have to have, you all have to have final say on the project.
I think he actually misinterpreted his version of the FSA, if you remember right. He made a claim at a meeting that he controlled 50 cents on every dollar,
right.
And that's untrue. That was not
right.
To me.
So the list of allowable items to be expended on would be I put on here similar to these things, but not necessarily limited to these things, because as time goes on, something new may pop up that we want to look at, or we may determine is applicable to the intent of this impact fee. So security surveillance camera system, you know, the purchasing of our cameras, the infrastructure to do that would all be used for the impact fee. And I want to be clear in here that system needs to be consistent with our May 2015 camera implementation, integration, and expansion plan that the board adopted. Consultant studies and fees to evaluate, that's the next thing I want to do. We need to get that consultant in here to work with Paul on evaluating organization, how we provide services, how we need to adjust when we start getting growth, growth in service area, but we can't necessarily grow in personnel.
In that particular section with the expansion within the North Gates, the concern was that you're going to have many, maybe HOAs, so you would be working not only with the RMA, but you're going to work definitely with the other ones. So that's going to mean more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good that understanding is in here.
Yes.
Well, the final decision is the board. And
right.
Paul.
I'm just saying it's good that she put it so nicely in there. Thank you.
And we did talk about purchasing, because it does say, you know, the general understanding and agreement is that the impact fee will not be used to support operations.
Yes.
But it was agreed and discussed, again, back in April with John, that one vehicle, patrol vehicle, since we're on such a critical, I mean, our vehicles are dying rapidly, that a portion of the impact fee would be... could be okay to be used to purchase an additional vehicle. The one thing that, and the board may disagree with this as well, but I wanted to put it out here, the new locker room / training room, or even updating and what we've got now, I wanted to leave that out there. It was part of the original budget. There's been, you know, not everyone's in favor of doing anything with a locker room training room, but John is definitely not, but I wanted to put it out there. I told him I was going to keep it out here. I want the board to decide whether or not they think that it's a benefit to update what the patrol officers currently have. One thing that Paul brought up that I hadn't really thought about is that in the event, in the future, we hire a female patrol officer, we have, you know, we've got a single room back there right now. We may have to do something to address...
You might have a transgender.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so I left it out there. So that's open for discussion and board review and decision as to not whether or not. And then I just put on there other non-operational security enhancements as identified in the future. Right now, the estimate of the impact fee, total impact fee to be collected, excluding the multifamily site, is about $1.7 million.
So let's answer your question. That was our demand on the FSA. to give security some additional resources. And I would say, Paul privately would say, that's a pretty good little thing on the district's part, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then we argued about how the money was spent. And I agree with Darlene that they were adamant about using the locker room and that, you know, that kind of stuff there. So that you may have a hard time getting through that one through the process. But
well, I mean, he'll come in and he'll, you know.
I get it.
It's not a hill we're dying on for me.
It's not a hill.
Yeah.
I think he said when we get the gym, and use the hotel gym. I think that was
And maybe not even a new one. Maybe it's just looking at the safety center we've got here and using half of it, you know, because it's got a nice bathroom in there. You could use part of it. So just something, but the area that they've got right now is.
Yeah, and also talking with Paul because we share a wall with the chlorine gas system. So it's the most deadliest stuff on the planet. We're like 2 feet away, and if there's a leak, so he advised it's probably the best thing, and I agree. Yeah. Just from a, I don't want to be in there when the thing blows up. So
I don't
things
know
we're looking into.
So I don't know if you do you need time to digest this more. Do you want to take it to the board in this form? I don't know what you want to.
Mike, you want to give your opinion first?
I read it. There's not much difference than the the other draft. There's a couple of things. Most of it looks about 95% looks solid. Mm-hmm. There's a couple opinions, but I think the board needs to debate it. And John's going to be the one that's going to react to it the most, I think, if he sees it. But I think they got so much stuff. I'm not sure he's going to. I don't think he's reading it. So
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't.
Looks good to me. First draft.
And one, I was going to say when I was talking also about the approval of expenditure of funds. It is John's opinion that as projects be brought forward, and in fact, it even says in the sample policy that's in the FSA that as projects come forward, it's looked at and reviewed and approved basically by developers and property owners at the same time. And I'm diverging from that because I don't think, well, number one, I don't think it's appropriate. Number two, 5 years down the road, we could have a different set of developers that will have a completely different idea or thought process on what needs to be done, and then you're almost starting over with scratch again. So I just think it needs to be, limited in the policy that it is district final decision.
It always should be the expert. If it's water, Paul, finance is there. You should never get away from the person that has the most knowledge about that part of it, not having a say or control. Yeah.
Okay, and like you said, we've seen a lot of this before. We've discussed a lot of this before. So there really isn't, other than your little statement right here, reinforcing what we are the ones in control as a board. And as Paul gives us information on what his needs are.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
It's not the dog barking. And I also agree with
that. Make sure you say the same thing when his phone, when the staff phone rings too. You were quiet at the board meeting.
I also agree that
the board meeting doesn't say anything. I just shoot dirty looks.
Non-operational security for the future, because we do have to leave some area open for future development and different HOAs that will be going in here.
And the new things come up and technology changes. Who knows what's going to happen?
You are so correct. That's what I'm getting at. You just really don't know. Just look at the difference between when the North Gate was established and what's going on today. And now with the Escuela Gate, that's even going to add more to it. Yes, I understand the locker room situation because that's been brought up many times. Okay. But I think that you did a great job of putting this all together. And any comment that we get from the public, we get from the public. That's what we're here for. And if it's important enough that we need to look at it again, this is a draft, and we can incorporate it if we need to. Okay. So I like what you've done.
Thank you.
So send it on.
So we'll take it to the board.
Yes, please. Okay. Any other comments?
Nope.
Okay. Now, directors and staff, suggestions and comments? Well, I know to my left there will not be one, so I'm going right instead.
Nope.
You got a nope today.
Okay.
Nope. I usually have something good to say. Okay.
Nothing to add at this moment.
Okay. Nothing? It went nope, nope, nope all the way around.
Nope.
Guess what? I came to you and in the same answer, right?
I've been trying to think of something.
You're trying to think of something. Okay. Keep thinking. All right. So I guess with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Since we got so many nopers in here.
Nope.
Nope.